trembling and bewildered, they left the tomb. In the new RSV, it says, for terror and amazement seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Some scholars say that the original Gospel of Mark ended with verse 8. And wouldn't that be a tragedy? Listen to that one verse again. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Maybe it was Mark himself who said, I guess I must pen a few more verses, because what would happen to the church if the resurrection event left people filled with terror and amazement and fear so that they did not share the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead? This week, as I read and prepared this lesson, terror and amazement leaped off of the page to me because, I guess, of what we've heard the last month or so, shock and awe. You know, I didn't know we did marketing and had slogans for wars. I don't know. I wasn't alive during World War I and World War II. Maybe there were slogans. Maybe we do PR for wars. But somebody came up with the idea of this war in Iraq as shock and awe. And I guess after the last war in Iraq, when there was bombing for what, 40, 41 days, that we figured, boy, this time's really going to be big. And quite frankly, it wasn't as shocking and awesome as I thought it would be, although any time we go to war, it is an awesome thing. But imagine that morning. All of the Gospels say that at dawn, a single woman or several women went to the tomb. Now, I don't know about you, but when it's dark, I don't know that I want to be around a graveyard. I don't know if I want to be poking around in a tomb. Especially when the men folks are hiding in a room figuring they're going to be crucified next. It was the women who, in the dark of early morning, had the courage to venture out and go to the tomb, in spite of the fact that there might be Roman guards there to harass them, in spite of the obstacle that we're told in this passage, a tremendous stone that needed to be rolled away, but they went anyway because they wanted to do their duty to their Lord, their master, their teacher. They wanted to anoint his body with spices and see that he was properly prepared for burial because of the rush before the Sabbath when his body was laid in that borrowed tomb. You know, maybe one of the reasons these women were afraid, even though they had seen an angel of the Lord who told them that Jesus was alive, that Jesus had risen, and for them to go to tell Peter and the other disciples that he would meet them in Galilee, maybe they were afraid to talk because in those days women were not valued very highly in that culture, that a man took pride in his sons. And he took pride in his wife and his daughters, almost like he took pride in his cattle and his sheep and his goats and his donkey. Maybe they were afraid that the men wouldn't believe them, that they would think that they were some kind of over-emotional women who didn't know what they were talking about. But they were seized with terror and amazement. And we're afraid to share the greatest news on earth. And thank goodness Mark goes on and lets us know that they finally told the story. Why? Because these were women of courage. They had the courage to go there when the men were afraid to go. They had the courage to go there in the dark of the early morning hours. They had the courage to take on a task that seemed insurmountable, to get past that rock to their Lord. They had the courage that the love of Christ placed in their heart, because they had met an extraordinary man, and like the disciples, they still had not gotten the idea that Jesus would be raised from the dead on the third day. They thought they had lost everything, and yet they had the courage to be there in the early hours of the morning. Well, I tell you, I was thankful for the people who had the courage to be here the early hours of this morning for our sunrise service. I think it was a blessing to us. I guess most of them, except for Amy and myself, that I know for sure, are not early morning people, so it took us some extra effort, and I tell you, it was a real act of faith for Amy to be here, bless her heart. Everybody kids her about this, so she can take it. But those women had their own celebration that morning. They were going to minister to their Lord because he had ministered to them, and they had the courage of their convictions. People who united with the church this morning had a courage to unite with the church at some time in their lives and to be baptized and accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. And along with us this morning, they have reaffirmed that faith. That's an act of courage on our part to be Christians. That's why Easter was such a special day for receiving members into the life of the church and baptizing new Christians. It takes courage. It takes giving it everything we have. It must come from the heart. Yesterday, I saw a rerun of a movie that was probably a rerun when I saw it the first time. It was an interesting movie with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman. You know, I think Gene Hackman's been in about half the movies I've seen in my life. I don't know how that man's in so many movies. But it was a movie called The Replacements, when the football players went on strike and they hired wannabes and people who didn't make it in football to come and play football because all of these prima donna athletes were on strike, wanted more money. And Keanu Reeves was recruited, and he was a guy who never really made it because he had a horrible day at the Rose Bowl one year, and he just never made it into the pros. And Gene Hackman saw something in him that day, and when he had the chance, he recruited him for this fill-in team. You know, the owners have spent a lot of money on teams for football, and they'd already sold tickets, and they didn't want to lose their money, so there was going to be a game. And all of these guys come together who might not have had the skill to play professionally, but they had the heart and love of football. And they got out there on the field and had a hard time becoming a team. But finally, this quarterback pulls them together as a team. And they're one game away from making the playoffs. And the quarterback comes back. You know, the $5 million man. And of course, the owner insists on him quarterbacking that important game. At the halfway point of the game, it was 17-0 in favor of the other team. And as Gene Hackman, his coach, is walking off the field, you know, there's always a reporter to stick a microphone in your face and say, "Well, coach, what are you going to do? What do you need this second half to come back?" And he says, "We need heart." And she said, "What?" "We need heart, miles and miles of heart." Well, that's the last thing he said to Reeves when he told him he wouldn't be playing that day. And he was watching the game on TV, and he rushed down to the stadium and walked into the locker room at halftime, and Hackman says, "Suit up." And of course, he went back out on the team, and at the last minute, got across the goal line and won the game because of heart. Courage to be there. These women on that first Easter morning had heart. They had courage. Courage that the men didn't have. And they were there at the tomb. But if we're going to be Christians, we've got to have that kind of courage about our faith. Even though we're afraid. Even though we stand in amazement of the task that is in front of us as Christians to share the good news, we've got to have the heart and the courage to witness for Jesus Christ. But beyond heart and courage, we need commitment. They had it. They had the commitment to be there for their Lord. Three women, alone in a graveyard, because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's commitment. You know, one of my favorite commercials is an African-American man who's calling his mom on a cell phone, and he's walking around the house, and he's just flipping on lights in every room he can. Have you seen that commercial? And he's cutting on lamps, flipping on the overhead lights, walks to the front door, opens the front door, is talking to mom, and says, "Mom, I'm in my new house, and I want you to know I've got every light in the house on. And tell Dad I've opened the front door and I'm cooling the whole neighborhood." I mean, I think a lot of us grew up with expressions like that about not having all the lights on, keeping the door closed to keep the heat in or the cool in and not heat or cool the whole neighborhood. And it's a commercial for Fannie Mae and buying a house. And buying a house is a commitment. It's a long-term commitment. And he had made that commitment, and he was proud of it. And by golly, if his light bill went up and electricity bill went up, he didn't care. He's going to have those lights on. He was going to open that door if he wanted to, because he had made a commitment, and that was his house. Are we willing to make that kind of commitment for Jesus Christ? We're in his house. Are we going to turn on all the lights? I carry with me on my keychain a little light. You know, it's one of those little lights, so at night when you can't find the keyhole. But you know, there's something kind of funny. It's a little red light, so it doesn't put out a whole lot of light. And as a matter of fact, if you notice, it doesn't put out any. Because you see, it's been knocking around in my pocket for months. And every once in a while, in my pocket, hidden in my pocket, something hits that, and that little light comes on and uses up some of the battery. And then it gets knocked again and turns on that little battery. And nobody sees that light because it's a little bitty light, and it's a little bitty light in my pocket. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians are like this little bitty light in my pocket. We shine a little bit down in the pocket or in a pocketbook somewhere. But we're not willing to turn on all the lights in the house and open the doors and let people know where we really stand. These women had heart. They had courage. They had commitment. And they were the first to know that Jesus was alive. We know it. Are we going to have their heart and their courage and their commitment to share the good news? Or are we going to be like a little pocket light that's been bumped so many times and so weak that when we need it, it won't even work? What kind of faith do you have? What kind of resurrection power is burning in your life? We're people of the resurrection.